Thanks, Joel. I'm going to share just for a few more minutes here before we close, just on what I think is a pretty simple thought and one we've talked about before, but one that I've been pondering on, well, even this morning. And that is walking by faith and not by sight. And specifically, what I was thinking about this morning was, as I was thinking about the worries of this world or the cares and concerns that were trying to weigh me down, was I was thinking, what is the difference between I sit here and I can pray about them, and yet my anxiety isn't necessarily removed? And I was thinking, very simple thought. The difference is, or the key is, that once I pray about it, I have to actually believe that God then will do it, will take care of whatever it is. And it's in the believing, in the faith of just trusting in his word, a promise perhaps, trusting that if I pray, I know that he cares for me. That's the difference where it goes from being anxious about something to being at rest. Like I even think Paul and Silas in the prison, what was the critical thing there for them in terms of being able to not focus on the fact that they'd just been flogged and were now sitting in chains, but rather to be a place of peace and joy, which is what we see in terms of them just singing and worshiping the Lord. And I'm just thinking the difference is men who weren't focused on current circumstances, but could actually be in a place of faith of just trusting that God was still sovereign, that he was still in perfect control, and just worshiping him and resting in the promises of God. And that's what it does say. It says that that he who believes is the one that truly enters the rest that God has desired for us. And even you know, tying in with what Joel was sharing a little bit and what Craig was sharing about, you know, seeking to, as we look to fulfill, you know, as Joel talked about, that the body of Christ could truly be the fullness of Jesus Christ to the world, that people would look at the church and be able to see Jesus Christ. And so much of that then is focused on not focusing on ourselves, but focusing on others. And how do we get to a place where I am not consumed with my own worries and my own things? Again, it comes back to faith and being able to cast my burdens on the Lord and then rest in his promises. And in then resting in his promises, I can be in a place where I can be looking to serve and be a blessing, like Craig and Joel have touched on in what they shared. So I was just meditating on that this morning, and I wanted to just touch on it. Nothing, you know, even as I share this morning, I just feel like, Lord, I could share some verses and some thoughts in my mind. And yet at the same time, more than anything, my desire is, if anything, to just stir it in your mind that you guys can then ponder on it and be able to say, Lord, am I in that place of rest? Am I able to bring my burdens before you and leave them at your feet and trust that you have them in control and then go on in peace and joy? And if not, am I anxious? Then we know these things. Be anxious for nothing. We can all quote that verse. I was even thinking this morning, you know, it's easy for us to say, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he rose again, that he's alive today? We'd all say yes. And that's good. But the reality is, I was pondering, man, my faith is really tested when a trial comes. And that's what they say. It comes from the testing of our faith, that it would produce endurance, that it would produce what God has for us. But that's where the faith is really tested, to say, Lord, do I really believe your promises? Do I believe in your love for me and how much you care for me, that I can trust you in that? And that's the challenge. That's where we get a chance to see where our faith is at. And if we see anxiety, if we see that, you know what, I'm falling short, then it's an opportunity for us to repent and really seek the Lord and cry out to him. As Joel said, like, even, you know, in that circumstance where they were in the concentration camp, I mean, they were desperate for the Lord. And I think I would say, you know, as Joel said, we don't want to get there. Let us see our own anxieties and our own fears, and that where we see ourselves not walking in peace and joy. And let that be those things that drive us to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, this is not what you have for me. This is not the abundant life that you came to give, to be anxious and to be worried about how, if I were to even share with you the things that cause me anxiety, you'd all say, well, Tim, don't worry, the Lord will take care of those things. And then there are some that are going through much greater things. But the reality is, you know what? The reality is God desires that nothing would cause us anxiety, that we could take all things to him in prayer. And so I was thinking about that. And the reality is the answer is not difficult. The answer is we need faith. And how do we get faith? And I was just thinking, you know, these are simple things, but we have some examples. But the critical thing, what I shared with you on Friday night, the Proverbs, and how I thought it tied into the sower and the seed. And what was interesting to me, if we were to read on, I had read from Luke 8, and I'm just going to read those two verses, Luke 8, 14 and 15. It says, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries, maybe desire for riches or pleasures or other things. So, you know, it's anxieties, it's fears that are coming in, or maybe we're not finding our life in Jesus Christ. And so we're looking for it in riches, and we're looking for it in pleasures and other things. And as a result, that there's no fruit that's coming to maturity. The peace of God is not ruling and reigning in our hearts. There's not love. There's not joy. That's one place that we can be. But then the next verse is the seed in the good, that's in the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word of God in an honest and good heart. But this is the critical part. And this is the thing that really is very simple, that really just struck me. They hold it fast and they bear fruit with perseverance. And this is the part that I'm so personally, I was challenged by, and just thinking about that, you know, as a body, let us be those that when we study the word, and this is why we get into the word of God. This is why we would encourage one. We need to get into the word of God daily, and just that it would build our faith, that when trials come, we would have a promise fresh in our mind that says, no, I don't need to be anxious, because the promise I just read this morning or yesterday says this, and I'm going to trust in that promise and believe in that promise, not what I see. This is the difference of walking by faith and not by sight. Lord, I remember you said that if I asked for wisdom, you would give wisdom, and I've asked for wisdom. So despite the fact I don't know now what to do, I trust that you will give me wisdom because you said it, and I'm going to wait for that wisdom to come. Whatever the case may be, whatever the promise is that we've just read, that we would just cling to it and hold it fast. And the example, the great example, which I've talked about so many times in Romans chapter 4, talks about Abraham growing strong in faith. It says, in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. The promise was that he would have many descendants. So shall your descendants be. So without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. Remember, like, this was impossible. It was impossible. I was thinking, like, even just think if we were standing there with Jesus and God, there's no earth. There's just nothing. And God says, okay, I'm going to speak now, and I'm going to create the stars, the heavens, the earth, the oceans, all the animals, the trees. I'm going to do it all. You know, just even that. I mean, seriously, or I'm going to raise someone from the dead, but they're dead. No, I'm going to raise them from the dead. By my words, I will raise from the dead. Things that are impossible in our natural mind, but to just, okay, Lord, if you said it, then I believe it. And so without faith, he contemplated his own body, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. He did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And I'm just thinking, like, we've talked about this so many times, but this is where, you know, you think of the verses that talk about where God is glorified. It says God is glorified here by the fact that he grew strong in faith, that someone said, no, I will go by what God said to me 25 years ago, that I am going to be a father of many nations. I'm going to believe that more than the natural circumstances that my wife can no longer have children, that we can no longer have children. If God said it, then it will happen. And I'm not going to go by what I see, the natural thing. And then we know it says too, it says that he's glorified when we bear much fruit. But if we're consumed with worries and anxiety, we're not bearing fruit. So the critical thing that underpins all of this is that we hold fast to the word of God and just refuse to let it go. I desire, I long, I am not saying this from a place of I'm there. I'm saying this from a place of, I think all of us could testify and say, I've experienced that at times, and praise God for the times that he's helped me to just hold fast. But I'm saying it from a place, really, truthfully, this morning of longing. Lord, I long for that. I long to be able to come before you with my cares and my worries and pray and leave them at your feet and not be anxious about anything, but just be thankful with thanksgiving, come before you. So, and just present my requests and then lay them there. And there's times, praise God, there's victory in that. But I'm being honest with you this morning to say there's times where it's not. And it's those times now that are kind of driving me here, driving me to my knees to say, Lord, I want to overcome that. I want to overcome. And so that the cares that want to burden me down, don't burden me down. And then I can be that blessing. I mean, when we're anxious, I'm sure what also like is not possible really to be a blessing to somebody else. It's very hard to be a blessing to somebody else spiritually. Maybe we could help somebody naturally, but the reality is the greatest blessing we can be a blessing naturally. But when that natural blessing is paired up with coming with the joy of the Lord and the peace of God and being able to not just naturally bless somebody, help them with something, which can be great, but to be able to help them with that, but at the same time, come alongside and lift up it spiritually and encourage. That's a place that we desire to be. It's a place I desire to be. And another example I thought of this morning was the story of the 12 spies. And we know this one so well, Numbers 13 and 14. And you see here, it's amazing. Like these guys come back and the 10 spies, they come back and they say, we went into the land where you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Oh, it is good. And this is the fruit. Then they showed them the fruit, but they just said, but yeah, it's not available to us because the giants are too great. And so they went by what they could see. They acknowledged the reality, I think we've probably all heard this. People will say to us, you know what? No, if you would simply come before Jesus and humble yourself and just repent, God can free you from the chains of sin that bind you and give you peace and joy. And they would say, oh, that sounds amazing. I would love that, but that's not possible for me because I'm whatever. And then the excuses come why it's not possible. No, the giants are too great. Too great. The sons of Anak are there. You guys don't understand. The sons of Anak are there. And Caleb stands up and he just says, no. God has told us that we can go in and possess this land. It is available to us, not because we're strong, not because we're mighty, but because God told us that he was going to take us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and he was going to give us that land. So on that basis, let's go. It's available. And so you just see such a contrast. And then it goes on, and they lifted up their voices and they cried. This worldly sorrow comes in and they cry. And Aaron and Moses, they fall on their faces. And these people are saying, oh, that we had died in Egypt. We just died in the wilderness. The Lord has brought us up here to just let us be slaughtered. I'm paraphrasing. You appreciate that. And then Caleb and Joshua stand up again. These people are saying, let's just find a leader to take us back to Egypt. But they stand up again and they just say, no, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into that land and give it to us. And the end result, they continue on, but they're just quoting this. They're quoting the promise that God said. And in the end, the people just wanted to kill him. And it says they sought to stone them. So people are a struggle at times, but let us be a body like Caleb and Joshua, like Abraham, where we cling to the promises of God. We don't lean on our own understanding. We don't lean on what we see. And this is going to take faith. This is why, how do we get faith? We get faith by spending time with Jesus. We get faith by seeking out fellowship. We get faith by just humbling ourselves, crying out to the Lord. Think of the man who said, Lord, if you can do anything, help my daughter or son, whatever it was. And Jesus says, if I can do anything. And then he says, we know this. We've talked about this many times. Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. Help me with my unbelief. But I think we want to just all just come back and say, this is available to us. Let us continue to press on to this. Let us hold fast to the word of God. And let us just seek to continue to build each other up, to encourage one another, those that are downcast, those that are going through great trials. In those trials, it is a test, because the enemy is there like a flood to tell us all the reasons why it's not available to us, or why there should be fear, why there should be anxiety, or all these things. And we just want to come back and be like Jesus Christ and say, no, that's not true, because of, and be able to just come back with the word of God and say, no, because it says that the Lord is roaming to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And I know my heart is there. Or no, it says that no weapon that's formed against me. And we go on and we quote the promises. And when we get into the word and we study the promises of God, this is what we need to really be doing. And there's so many great examples in the scriptures. I'm going to close with another one here that Andrew had shared with me this morning as we were just touching briefly on this. You know, I was also thinking about Thomas, right? He says, no, I'll believe it if I see it. And we know that story where Jesus says, blessed are those who believe even though they don't see. And let's as a body seek to be that. It's faith is the assurance of hope for the conviction of things that we don't yet see. And I long to be there. I long to be there. And I know that it's available. And I not say, like, I've experienced, I've tasted, and many of us, we could probably all say, I've tasted that. I've been in times of great trial. I remember one time, and I've shared this story before, like, it's like walking on water. It's like Peter, we don't look at the circumstances. And I've been there. It's been through work or whatever. And just to be able to be at rest in the midst of the storm. And I remember a coworker saying to me one time when things were going crazy at work, and I made some reference to, oh, praise the Lord. I don't remember what I said. And they just, I don't know how you can be thinking about God at a time like this. And I was like, man, I have to be thinking about God at a time like this. This is the only hope I have, is to trust him and to lean on him and his promises, and to look not at the wind and the waves, but to focus on Jesus Christ, to focus on his promises, so I don't have to be anxious. And we can see from Paul when he says, if you would only, in Philippians, he says, if you finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, the promises, I mean, you can just say, focusing on the promises of God, he says, and if you would look at what you see in me and practice those things, the peace of God will be with you. I mean, this is because he's saying, this is my life. I live in a place of walking in the peace of God. So if you would just follow the example and meditate on his promises, those things which are true and pure, and come before him with a thankful heart and lay your burdens at his feet, he says, then the peace of God will guard your heart and your minds. So let's be there. Let's continue to pursue it. And again, I say this not from a place of looking down, but coming alongside if we're there and we're saying, you know what, no, I am anxious. I have worries that are weighing me down, and they've been choking out the seed, and it's not bearing fruit. Peace and joy is not there. And then, brothers and sisters, let's cry out and say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to overcome. I want to root out this anxiety, this weed of anxiety that's choking the word. I want to rest on your promises with faith and just trust him. And close with this great couple of verses from Habakkuk, where he says, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. He's describing, I mean, we can't relate exactly that circumstance. So put your circumstance in there and say, Lord, even though all of these circumstances surround me, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. So let's be there. It's like, reminds me of what Greg shared with us Friday night. The greatest, or the most common commandment, is just that we would be those that are just praising the Lord. But it comes back to knowing and resting and clinging and holding fast to the promises of God and walking by those promises and our faith in those promises, and not by what we're seeing. And just as a result of that, being able to say, and we can testify at the end of our days, at the end of a trial, whatever the case, be able to say, you know what, it was difficult. The circumstances were crazy, But by the grace of God, I had a peace that passed all my understanding. And I just was able to rest in Jesus Christ and just have my focus on him and not look at the wind and waves. And as a result of that, the peace, the joy, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, those things weren't choked out. They remained. And even beyond that, I was able, perhaps we could say too, a desire to be able to say, I could focus on being a blessing to the body of Christ and helping as my small part that people could see a reflection of Jesus Christ through the church. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for the hope that we have in you and in your son, Jesus Christ. And just, Lord, help us to be those that walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to continue to study your word, to know the promises, that they would take deep root in our heart. We would hold them fast and not grow weak in faith, but rather grow strong in faith, clinging to the promises. And that as a body of Christ, together as believers, Lord, we could be a reflection of Jesus Christ to a perishing world. Heavenly Father, that souls could be saved. I pray this morning that you would build up those who are weak, Lord, those who have difficult circumstances. Lord, strengthen them, strengthen their faith, remind them of your precious promises, your love for them, that they would be able to cling to that and just know peace of God, which passes all understanding in the midst of trial and circumstance. Lord, and those who have natural needs, Father, that are weighing them down, Lord, you would meet those needs. Lord, I think of whether it's work-related, whether it's health-related, whether it's other things, Lord, you know, questions in their mind, uncertainties, things that are perplexing them, Lord, that they would not be despairing, but clinging to you and to your promises and to hope in you. Lord, thank you for your goodness and for your faithfulness, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.